I present the prophet of the Almighty Baller.
So we'll blow through the last few offenses so we can get to actual basketball. Nicolaes was suspended.
Not if I have anything to do with it.
Was suspended from FIBA and the NBA on two separate occasions for testing positive for tamoxifen. So I guess that's like doping.
PEDs or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is PEDs?
PEDs.
Yeah.
And Tony Allen.
Great.
During 2005, Allen was charged with an aggravated battery.
Shocking.
From an altercation.
Wait,
what's up?
He tested positive for tamoxifen?
Yeah.
Google tells me that's Strattera.
What is Strattera?
It is an ADHD Strattera drug that I took when I was in early high school.
It's a non-amphetamine ADHD drug.
Well, dude, I guess that's... I've always wondered. I know in the NFL you can't take Adderall and play. I don't know if you can...
Well, it seems like you can't, or at least you can't take Strattera.
Yeah, probably not.
No, but Strattera is not even a psychostimulant. First of all, I don't know why it was banned, and secondly, I don't know why where he got Strattera from.
I got Strattera from my doctor when I was 14.
You mentioned that.
That sucks, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
So...
Hey, it's the real struggle out here, dude.
You're grinding. We're out here... And then Tony Allen, okay, he was charged with an aggravated battery stemming from an altercation that escalated into the non-fatal shooting of a 29-year-old man outside a restaurant in Chicago in August 2005.
No, that's not the best. It's
although
the riot.
Although he was not a suspect in the shooting, he was accused of breaking another man's left eye socket. He spent two nights in jail but was not implicated in the shooting.
No, talk about the riot. He was in a fucking riot. It was amazing in 02.
He was in a riot?
Yeah. I had it up here somewhere on a great thing called the Sports Law Lab. Yeah,
oh, man.
Oh, 2002 at a Whataburger in Oklahoma, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
He was at OSU, right?
I think that might have been.
300 people were involved in a riot, and he was one of them.
Oh, yeah. Rival groups from
which
OSU.
Which is one of the cooler things you can be picked up on a misdemeanor for.
In Langston. And so it was published. This happened, I guess, in 2003 and led to, in 2004... an article, Tony Allen has turned his troubled life around in OSU. So, yeah, that was the
okay,
thing.
Okay, so, all right, so are we done with this section here? That
I think so. I can't imagine there's any more to go
well,
on this
Tony,
place.
No. Tony Allen broke a couple of people's jaws, and there we go.
Is anyone surprised by that?
Oh, no. Ah, the best one. He beat up O.J. Mayo for a gambling debt.
Oh, no. Oh, God. O.J. Mayo, huge friend of the program.
Yeah, he's a friend of the
program. God, I sure love to Orange Juice
Bless, Man. Yeah, I'm blessing him with that status.
I'm watching a pretty cool video of Tony Allen going nuts after forcing a backcourt violation. You guys should watch it. It's pretty hilarious.
Oh, my God. All of the videos and GIFs of Tony Allen celebrating various calls are like their own independent genre of art. My dude goes like full Maria Abramovich with the performance out there. It's so
crazy. Sort of like how Kanye's like, Yeezus isn't rap. It's like, Yeezus... It's its own genre.
Yeah, he's the Maya Darren of pointing the direction the ball's supposed to go.
Along those lines, there is a YouTube account called Need for Sheed that is just Rasheed Wallace clips that are done in like 240p from like 2006 that are just him yelling,
yep.
Ball don't lie.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wonderful account.
Oh.
I recommend it. I point everybody to it when possible. And I think
that... May 10th, 2012, Denver NBC affiliates 9 News reported that Anderson Holm was the target of an investigation of a suspected internet criminal case by the Douglas County Sheriff's Office Internet Crimes Against Children Unit. Anderson was not
charged...
That got
sorted out, though. Wait,
that did. But, I mean, like, that's such a crazy fucking thing to happen.
But that whole story is bizonkers. You
yeah,
can
for real.
That story.
It was some Canadian woman in Easterville, Manitoba, though.
Yeah, that was bonkers.
And now we're done with the segment of our podcast that is about...
Tony Allen looks like he's jousting in slow motion in this clip.
You know what's this fun? waking up in the morning, going out to your front doorstep, and seeing a box from fanessential.net.
Oh, it's the most fun, especially knowing that you only pay $14.99 or maybe $34.99 a month, but less if you use the promo code ALMIGHTY at checkout.
Oliver, are you wearing socks? Because if you're wearing socks, I need you to remove them right now because I'm about to knock your socks off.
Okay, I am removing my socks.
FanEssentials.net is going to get your favorite team, right? You're in Portland, you like the Trailblazers, Dame is tearing it up. They're going to take your favorite team, they're going to put together all the coolest gear, all the coolest merchandise, all the coolest stuff, put in a box, send it to you, and every month, you open your door and you're like, wow, what a bunch of cool stuff. And I already know this because they sent me a little box because they wanted to sponsor me. Good move, by the way. It's a great podcast. And I can tell you, I'm using my little key lanyard. I wear the sport jacket combo with this Thunder t-shirt that's really cool. I got a cool card decal. And that was just the rookie package. That's for $14.99. So, hey.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. I am definitely intrigued by this. I'm going to have to order one and see what's going on. But my question would be, if I order a Golden State one, does it come with Durant stuff?
Well, that's a great question. And hey, why not find out by using discount code ALMIGHTY, ALMIGHTY, there's only one L. If you can't remember the way that you spell ALMIGHTY, just look at the name of this podcast, you dummy.
And if you enter the code, you get 30% off your first month at fanessentials.net.
And if you order now, I like that, you know?
We get sweet kickback. Support the podcast. Go to fanessentials.net, please.
Okay, all right. I thought that was well executed.
Great ad.
Yeah, no, I thought that was
worked
great.
Out well. Sorry about the dogs there.
And yeah, the dogs are not included in the package.
Cool.
Here's the thing about, I think, why all that shit's sort of relevant. This is one of those teams that's just so 90s-y basketball team.
Yeah.
Like, they're just banging and hanging and, like, clogging shit up and making stuff gross for everyone. It doesn't shock me that a bunch of dudes who are that intense and that focused and sort of that physical and violent have, like, a little bit of that in their background, some more than others and some unacceptably so.
But yeah, Pistons could put the ball in the basket. Like,
hey, we'll see. I'm not
saying
happens.
It's they're good.
Yeah.
No,
I don't want to make that confusing.
I mean, I just, whatever discussion, I like Lance Stephenson as a basketball player. But to me, a reprehensible human being and, like, should be in prison.
Yeah, just, like,
throw
probably should.
Your girlfriend down the stairs.
Yeah, that's not okay.
You know, Dre did that too, by the way.
Did any of you guys know that?
Yeah, I did.
I don't remember hearing that.
I didn't.
You did know about it, Oliver?
No, I didn't know about it at all. That's why. I just knew about him as a basketball player.
Yeah, and I feel like it's like the Cosby thing. I don't know why it's not part of the conversation.
Yeah, that needs to be.
How many people know about what Dr. Dre did? Nobody,
I don't know. I know about it.
Same thing, Wikipedia. Yeah, it's out there, man.
Yeah.
Well, again, so we can have another thing devoted to that whole issue.
Yeah, these are all folks who've, like...
Let's talk about the basketball team.
Yeah, these are all folks who, like, ground through shit. And so now they're here with this team where they're like, all right, we're going to ground through this other shit, that shit being that all the players on our team who know where the basket is seem to be injured or incapacitated.
So, what I wrote down...
We have a D-League roster that keeps winning games and no one understands why.
I wrote down that it's not a YMCA amateur basketball team, but the only difference is that they're all a foot taller than what that would be, right? It's amateur basketball except everyone's a foot taller, right?
It's not dissimilar from that. I mean... They've had a couple of young guys. Like, Jarnell Stokes hasn't been bad. Jermichael Green's been pretty good.
Jarnell Stokes was waived, I think.
Was he waived? Did he get waived?
I think so.
I think if someone else was on the team, it was a similar name.
Yeah, there are.
Okay, well, Jermichael Green, I know, has not been waived. I know has shown some good flashes.
Yeah, he's on the... do you guys know how to spell S-I-O-U-X? Fall?
That's the Sioux. The
Sioux Falls Skyforce.
Is that their D-League team?
Wait. What are you trying to figure out how to pronounce?
I guess it is.
Oh, no, he just didn't know how to say Sioux Falls, but we're talking about just Jarnell Stokes. But more importantly, okay. Jermichael Green and this dude Weber, they've got some young dudes making the most of this playing time.
So he was on the Miami Heat, and he was traded to the Pelicans to free up money.
Word.
Yeah, so, but there are a bunch of people just like that, the sort of, like, hustle 6'9", 6'10", power forward type guy.
That's what Jermichael Green is, I think, and they... I don't know, they just have young dudes showing flashes and playing some, not great, but, like, decent ball. you know, guys who can start on the Sixers kind of thing.
Yeah, but they're... So, okay, I think that they are inevitably, regardless of what happens with Lance, going to become the 76ers in terms of their wins to losses. I think that they have, what, like 17 games left, and they're going to maybe win 3 or 4 of them. What do you guys think?
I think they'll probably win like 6 or 7 games the rest of the way, end up at like 45, 46.
I think that's probably the better prediction based off of their recent performance, but like, that Rockets game yesterday was silly.
Well, I guess to me it depends on who they have coming up.
That game was awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what was so awesome about it?
I hate Houston, but it was just such a spectacle.
Yeah, I mean, it was that.
You know, they basically, it was a power forward. I think it might have been Jamichael Green, but one of their power forwards hit the first three of their NBA career to save the Grizzlies from having suffered the worst loss in their history as a franchise, including in Vancouver. If he hadn't hit the first three of his NBA career, then like that would have been the worst loss of their NBA.
I mean, yikes.
Yeah.
Like, right. Their roster's not good, everyone's hurt. I mean, I don't know who they're playing, so I guess I can't make a guess on how many games they'd win.
Yeah, that was Green.
Based on roster composition, who would you give them the W against?
Almost no one, but they can keep...
Wait, so Green had never hit a three in his entire life?
Well, it was someone. There was someone who hit...
No, it was Green. No, I'm looking at it right now. The only two people who made threes on that team, the only three people... Matt Barnes made two, Green made one, and Ray McCollum made one as a point guard. So it must have been Green. But Green shot 5 threes that game. And he's never made a three in his entire life in the NBA.
Yeah, and he hit one with, like... He hit one...
Why didn't he shoot 5 threes?
Because who else is going to shoot them? This team is, like, 4 mannequins, Lance Stevenson's imaginary friend, Jamichael Green, and like 4 strangers.
Lance Stevenson.
The team was down by 50 points. You could have sat there and tried to learn how to fold an origami crane on the bench. And...
Yeah,
oh,
my
God. I need to take some Advil. Sorry to hurt.
I mean, they...
I took notes on this game while I was watching it as much as I could. Because I was trying to...
You kept dry heaving.
All right. Stevenson is perhaps going to become my new favorite player in the NBA. I absolutely adore this guy.
I like his game, but he's a horrible human. It's terrible.
No, he's not good, really, in that sense. My first notes say, number 35 plays like he hates all life. That was in the... because he was just...
Which he does.
Yeah, he was just sort of just standing there like an aggravated bear,
so
to speak. That wasn't even intentional or whatever. But, no, I can talk about it because that's where most of the things that I actually have to add a value are. So we can save that for later.
Okay. You do that, and then I actually am about to go... I actually am about to go take some Advil because my head hurts from laughing so much earlier. And I'm going to go ahead and grab my inhaler just in case. And so, Spencer, after you're done, Oliver, I want to hear what you think is going to happen for the rest of the NBA season for the Grizzlies, okay?
No, let's talk about the basketball first and just let me make dumb jokes later. All right, okay. Okay, you guys talk about stuff that's important for a while. I'll just doodle.
So, as far as basketball is concerned, I expect the Grizzlies to actually be better than people think. I already explained this. I just, for some reason... The players that they've assembled are all like those hard-worky, chippy guys. Now, it could go really, really south like we saw against the Houston Rockets, but then we could also see the performance against the Pelicans or the performance against the Cavs. And I just think that for some reason, I have a feeling they're going to upset some teams in the playoffs. And I don't know why, I don't know how, but I just feel like, I don't know why. They have so many guys that have chips on their shoulders and are going to get pissed off and angry and, like, really hustle for every single missed ball or loose ball. And I just, for some reason, there's some weird feeling in me that somehow it's going to work. And Dave Yeager, it's pretty impressive that they're even in the position they're in. Like, I hate the way they play. I don't think it's good. But it's totally different from what everyone else in the NBA does.
Isn't that Memphis, like, usually, though, is that they spoil teams because teams don't prepare for or whatever.
They're radically different.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're radically different.
And they can
play
steal,
really hard defense.
Yeah, they can steal games off of, you know, more sort of swan-like, more elegant-looking teams in the playoffs and stuff.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean,
That's where I'm coming from.
I don't really buy the grit narrative, per se. Just, like, the they try so hard. I'm, like, legit just more convinced by the sometimes things are magic argument. Like,
yeah, the statistical inevitability of hitting shots if you throw it up enough.
Yeah.
Like Kobe.
Yeah, almost like that. Like, I mean, maybe this is just part of me, like, you know, arguing against my own sort of laziness, but I just don't think that high energy grit is a winning formula by itself. You know?
Like, it's not a winning... It's
we should
not
talk about grit as a concept.
We already have, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like a non...
Oh, I don't know. I don't
it's like a non-thing.
What were you gonna say?
It's not fully about the grit, though. There is some aspect to it that actually makes a lot of sense. Like, the defensively...
Yeah.
Like, the defensive end of the court.
That's where I'm at.
And Dave Yeager...
I think that you could eke out a few wins with grit, but especially in the playoffs, you guys know how, despite putting up pretty good regular season wins, the Bulls haven't really had any playoff success. Like, I think that that is sort of a component of that, because especially in the playoffs, everyone's trying really hard. So you can eke out some wins. That's maybe what happened against the Cavaliers, but it's not a good winning strategy.
Yeah, and I actually think that the Thibodeau Bulls, these Grizzlies comp is actually pretty strong. Like, it's a lot of systemic defense and people trying really hard, but like with those Thibodeau Bulls, that is not...
It only gets you so far.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. There's a finite limit on that, as far
of
as
of course,
concerned.
But I do think...
But what do we mean when we talk about grit? Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, no, just the concept to me is interesting, because it's like, we look at teams, you know, it's a very identifiable concept, right? Is that like somebody says, oh, it's a gritty team, and immediately your head goes back to, you know, Bad Boys Pistons or whatever, or it goes back to, you know, even, you know, mid-2000s Pistons, or it goes back to, you know, whatever. Yet, at the same time, the implication is that teams like this are somehow, like, is it fair to say that this team is, you know, grittier than San Antonio? And if so, what does that mean, right? Like,
yeah.
I really think that the phrase grit, when it's used in this sort of context, like, I was literally just using it almost halfway pejoratively as sort of, like, and I think this is what people do, even when they don't mean to be pejorative about it, this idea that, like, grit is more of they try really hard but they're not that talented sort of claim.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think sometimes it's misplaced. Like, I think when you talk about those Pistons teams, for instance, calling them gritty really undersells what they did.
Yeah.
But I think this particular Grizzlies team, I'm not sure it does, because, like, what else do they do?
Yeah, well, I actually wrote about them last year in the playoffs against the Warriors and compared them to, you remember in Dodgeball, there was, like, the purple Globo Gym Vipers and then the average Joes, you know? In the end, the average Joes lost, but it's okay because whatever his name is bet that that would happen or something.
Is this seriously your point of reference to this? That's seriously your point of reference to this?
Yeah, it's basically, I was like, okay. In the movies, you know, grit can get you through, but in reality, talent is going to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. I guess... If there's...
You had to use Dodgeball as a reference point to make that point.
Yes. Yes. I mean, what would you use?
Yeah.
Smart guy?
I mean,
no, go ahead. Go ahead. Somebody else is talking.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
If there's a team that's going to upset somebody, I just feel like the Grizzlies are just that prime candidate to do so. And I don't have a special reason as to why. And then as far as grit goes, like, the explanation behind it, it's not really gritty. I guess it's more like... I don't have a description for it specifically, but I really liked it. It's different. It's radically different. The rest of the NBA is going one way, and they are going the opposite direction completely. Slow the game down, play defense, just get a bunch of people who really don't shoot that well, and just hope that you can just grind it out. And that's why it's the Grindhouse. That's why everybody nicknamed it that. Tony Allen sucks at shooting, but he's really good on defense and has really just progressively...
God, he's so bad.
So here's one thing, though. Spencer was talking about how identifiable it is. Memphis...
It's very identifiable.
Yeah, Memphis has done a really, really good job of marketing their team.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Memphis is not a big market. In fact...
One of the smallest.
They were one of the teams that sort of forced the CBA to support other teams that were in the red, you know? The Pelicans defaulted.
Yep.
And the Grizzlies were about to do that after the whole Kwame Brown fiasco. But this whole grit and grind thing has really brought out the soccer moms, so to speak.
Yeah, it's not fun to watch at all, but it is for like 10 minutes. I would rather watch the Memphis.
I think it's fun to watch.
God, it's awful to watch.
It's really, really bad. Offensively, it's really poor.
Yeah, it is. It's like watching old people eat. It's horrible.
Normally, it's watching old people fuck, but... You know,
I'd rather watch old people fuck than watch old people
like
eat.
Like posting up at a Grandy's in Nacogdoches, Texas.
But overall, it's still not fun exactly to watch. I just don't enjoy it. But at the same time, it does have a purpose. Like, it does actually... I have a feeling if they have all their guys healthy, besides Marc Gasol, and they get the right matchup, like, let's say it's the Clippers. The Clippers are just bound for, you know, one of those ridiculous upsets like they had last year. They just can't get out of the first round to save themselves.
I think the Clippers are a contender.
Okay, they could be, but I'm just saying, like, as far as matchups...
They also could implode.
They could implode at any second, but at the same time, they could definitely be a contender. You're right, but Memphis Grizzlies, I have a feeling if there's any team you don't want to play... I would put them up there at the top four or top three. You don't want to mess around with a team that has that. Like, if I'm Steph Curry, I really don't want to get injured. That's one thing I really don't want to happen. And if I'm playing the Memphis Grizzlies, that is bound to happen. Like, that is just...
I was actually going to say something very similar. I disagree with you that they're primed to make an upset, but I totally 100% agree with you that they're a team I would not want to play.
Okay, so hold up. You know, you said if I was Steph Curry, I wouldn't want to play the Grizzlies. The reason why that's so on point... is because, like, you remember when Iguodala was like, the way that you're going to beat us is by killing all of us? The Grizzlies will kill them all.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They're actually going to do that.
They would just go kill all of them and not even lose sleep about
it. Well, that's exactly why they strike me as,
that's
like,
scary.
Exactly the team you don't want to play, because you'll probably win that series,
but you're come away with an injury.
Bang that's the scary. Fuck up.
Yeah.
They have no remorse.
They'll break your ankles, but not, like, in a good way.
They have no remorse on anyone at any time.
And in the West this year, like, a series like that can be the difference between a title and no title.
Yep.
If you're the Spurs or something, and you play the Grizzlies and come out banged up, and then you get the Thunder, and you have to choose the Thunder, and then you play the Warriors, by that point, like, come on.
If you commit to at least four games with that team, then you have to make so many adjustments even on that level, because you can't, even in so doing that, is that even if you... win the series, you still have spent time doing something that's essentially non-productive for whatever team you have to face next in terms of, like, your preparation and the plan and the plays that you're drawing up, because you can't play that team the way that you would play any other team, because they play like a very good Y-rec team, I guess, or whatever, like you said earlier.
I already made that joke.
I know, that's what I said. I was making a callback. I'm making a callback. See, this is how you make something cohere. It doesn't sound like a caffeinated 11-year-old.
It's a classic improv technique, bro.
Okay, I'm taking a step away.
Right?
Okay.
I do feel like they've assimilated all these people that are on their last legs that want to prove to people that they're still good NBA players or, like, decent NBA players. Like, Matt Barnes, he's 38. He probably won't get another contract. Lance Stephenson, he's definitely on his last legs. Like,
Matt Barnes is 38. Wow.
Yeah. So, actually...
And there's Vince Carter, Tony Allen.
Yeah, I mean, you've got all these...
Is he really... Where was he?
All these guys that have, like, 1 year, 2 year, 3 years left on their contract, whatever the case may be, most of them are on 1 year, restricted free agent or free agent, and they have to prove to everybody that they can still play to get a contract for their next deal, and they don't want to retire. Like, all these guys are definitely not the type that just retires.
Yeah.
They're going to play until their legs are gone or no NBA team wants them. And
which
I just...
is more likely...
It's scary. No. This is a scary team. Like, I don't know why, but on paper and how they play is radically different from everybody else, and you have to prepare totally differently, and then you have to, like Lux and Spencer were alluding to, essentially, you have to game plan for them and then have to change your tone after that series. And whoever you play next, if you do beat the Grizzlies, you're screwed. Like, I don't know what the bet would be, but, like, bet on whichever team plays the Grizzlies in the second round going to the Western Conference Finals and bet against them. And I guarantee you they lose. Like, I have this weird feeling.
Well, if they were the 4 and 5 seed and they beat the Clippers, then they would play the Warriors, right? Before they went to the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, man. And that would kill them.
Okay,
like, I'm just saying,
let
you don't
want
it. Let
me go against the grain here, because I think we're massively overstating and overestimating this Grizzlies team. I think that they're just going to get slaughtered for the rest of the season and then swept in the playoffs.
Stop being the fun police. You're the fun police, and I don't appreciate it. Like, seriously, you're like...
It is way more fun to envision them.
Let's get analytics.
So you know what's funny? You know what's funny?
What's funny, Oliver?
It's so funny. It's so funny to me that all of us are pretty much on the Memphis bandwagon, yet everybody is against Memphis, essentially, and thinking that they're just the crappiest team. And I think we started this podcast talking about how bad of a team this is and how much of a dumpster fire it is, yet 3 out of the 4 of us have agreed, essentially, that they're a scary team to face in the playoffs.
They're a scary team in every sense possible.
Well, they're just so shit damn fun in a certain kind of perverse
everyone
way.
Everyone loves the underdog. That's why I made... the dodgeball reference, because everyone wants to believe that they can do it, but...
Nobody wants to believe they can do it.
Yeah,
nobody wants to believe they can do it.
Dodgeball was an ultimately mediocre...
I actually said in my article that it wasn't a good movie, but, like... And that Vince Vaughn sucks.
Oh, wait, you were able to take shots at Dodgeball and say it wasn't a good movie? Well, wow, man. Iconoclast right here.
Hey, I mean, it was mostly directed at Vince Vaughn, which is sort of falters to the same thing, because, like, no one likes Vince Vaughn.
No one needs you to say Vince Vaughn is bad. Anybody
awful. So,
it's true.
Come on, man.
Here's what's interesting, though. Go ahead. If you want to go through stats, their points per game are 99, 25th out of 30 in the NBA, so they're terrible offensively. But defensively, they're 6th in the NBA.
Since when?
Their pace is...
Since when?
This whole season.
Oh, wow.
The whole season.
Okay.
Their pace is 27th out of 30, so they're one of the slowest teams possible.
It's actually kind of high.
Yeah. Who are the slower teams?
I don't know.
Utah. Utah's 30. Yeah, that's right. Add that up.
Yeah, Utah.
Why do we keep talking about boring teams?
So, I was just going to put this in.
Shot down already.
I was just going to run this by you guys just because self-deprecation, but that's not the word. It's like masochism, right? What about the Mavs upsetting the Warriors as the 8th seed?
We're not even talking.
Assuming they even make the playoffs.
Oh, and they don't even... Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, man. You had a better point.
Oh, they don't have Zach Randolph or Mike Conley for the next like 2 to 3 weeks. But FYI, when they get back in, I think that's probably that's a good thing. They need those guys.
Like I said, I really don't think the Grizzlies can beat anyone in a 7-game series. I think even assuming they'll get to the second round is kind of crazy. But I do think if they play one playoff team in a series, that team is going to be beat to ass in the next series. I don't know. There's something to that. There's a certain appeal there that I think is fun to think about.
What's really funny is that Marc Gasol has been injured for the past 15 games, yet he still leads the team in total points.
Oh, God.
So, a quarter of the season, and yet he still leads the team in total points.
I mean, I 100% believe it.
Okay, projecting into the future of this Grizzlies team, they started to blow it up, but do you think Marc Gasol's untradeable now, right?
Yeah.
And I think that they're probably going to throw a max at Conley, right?
Oh, man. I don't know.
You have to, don't you?
I don't know. He's up there. He's pretty old, man.
28.
He's been in the league almost 10 years at this point.
I just feel like...
What else do you do? I don't know. Like, what else do you do if you're Memphis and you don't?
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Well,
right?
You pack it in. You pack it in. You say, screw this, blow it up, don't re-sign Conley, let some other team take a chance on him. Because, yeah, while he's been productive, he's not as productive as people think he is. He shoots less than 36% from three-point land and only 40% from the field.
He's had a bad season, too.
He has had a bad season.
He's had a bad contract season.
He's also injury-prone. Like, he's been injury-prone, like, his whole career, pretty much, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
given the market, though, I feel like he's inevitably going to get a max.
Probably.
And he'll probably get multiple max offers. And, I mean, I was talking about how good the Memphis marketing is. I feel like you have to, like, during this process, we found all these new power forwards who, in terms of the grit and grind mentality, who can sort of replace them. Assuming they re-sign Lance Stephenson, which, I don't know, who else is going to offer him money? I feel like they can reinvent and keep milking this grit and grind narrative to keep the people in the seats for as long as possible. That's the most realistic thing.
Totally agree with you, because remember, you know, San Antonio used to be their sort of identity was, all right, well, you're not going to really enjoy watching us, but we're going to win, right? You know, these very plodding but methodical sort of, and they were able to completely change their identity, like the way that the team was configured without changing their identity. And I think for a place like Memphis, that's the best option that they possibly have is trying, because Memphis is never going to attract, like, even though they have this grit and grind, I'm going to start charging myself $5 every time I say that out loud, mentality or whatever. Just because that's what they're using to put asses in seats right now, what people really want is if the team decides to come out with a more fast-paced offensive look, the way that San Antonio did. I mean, San Antonio completely flipped itself around in 1 year, and nobody was like, oh, wait, these aren't the Spurs I like. The Spurs I like are boring. You know what I mean?
But the Spurs are also about to, like, potentially get 70 wins.
But it needs to have an identity the way that Charlotte doesn't.
It does need to have an identity.
Right? Charlotte doesn't.
And it does, and it works.
And I think it's unrealistic. I think that as fans, we discount the degree to which ownership thinks about their team as a money machine. I don't think they're thinking to themselves like, okay, this team isn't a contender, let's scrap it. I think they're thinking to themselves, and this is a thing, Memphis has had the most consistent, like, has made the playoffs over the last 12 years more than any other team besides the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, it's really consistent and it works. And the other thing that I think we don't take into account, although everybody else hates watching them play, at least from what I understand.
Except for me.
The fans like it. I think the fans really enjoy it.
Right, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
And it's entertaining. It is.
And the more we hate it, the more they like it.
Probably, probably. Because Memphis is not the greatest of cities.
Here's a little bit.
Okay.
I love Memphis, but... Here's another, like, I'm just gonna play a little bit of devil's advocate here for a sec. Just thinking about my Wizards fandom for a second and the suffering it engenders on a daily basis.
Garbage!
They went through a sort of similar-ish thing last year in a kind of way where they were like, we've got this team, but the pieces are changing. Should we lean into, like, the shifting of the guard into this newer sort of format? And they tried that. Everyone was very excited. And then, this season happened.
Right.
I guess then... If that's a distinct possibility...
I think that's a great point.
Yeah, if it's a distinct possibility, then do you think that it's worth it? At what point does identity sort of, like, become more important than necessarily even the roster composition? Where does that trade-off come? Because you look at the Wizards roster, you think that team should probably run a bunch more than they do. But then they tried and it went terrible.
I don't think it does.
Right? Yeah, well, and I mean, part of that has to do with... We're sitting around wondering how Dave Yeager is making it work. But this is an actual thing. Like, I'm not even making a joke. Dave Yeager was a D-League coach. Like, it makes sort of sense that
D-League players.
He is coaching, yeah. Like, this D-League team pretty well, you know? I like the Wizards comparison because they're even more Wizards than the Wizards because Dave Yeager is given a roster that can sort of play this grit and grind style and probably not play fast. And then on top of that, he is a grit and grind style, you know, clipboard instead of iPad coach. You know what I'm saying? So it's like...
Yo, he has a clipboard? Shit, that's gritty.
He has a chalkboard.
Yeah, I'm not even sure, but like...
He writes the scouting reports on an old typewriter.
That's so gritty. That's one of the grittiest writing materials you can have.
Yeah, right?
Chalk is so gritty.
Yeah, he has a slate that's tied with twine to his neck, and he just makes his mark.
He doesn't believe
that.
In analytics because you can't compute them on an abacus.
He writes on papyrus.
Yeah, he skins a sheep and he just unspools it out and uses vellum, and that's how he takes notes on film. And he just has film sessions by himself like that. Yeah.
And when you say film, you just mean reading the entrails of the sheep, right?
No, what I mean is that he has a literate person watch the game and then take notes, and then he works that up into a sort of play that the people in his sort of community can act out for him, and it's really a community building exercise.
Have you guys seen 300 when they go see the Oracle, and the Oracle's like sort of doing all those dances and stuff, and then they're like, okay, we gotta go fight the Persians.
Yeah,
it's like he's doing that with the Memphis Grizzlies dancers, trying to divine like what the Grizzlies should do in their next game. It's like, okay, guys, you heard the Oracle. Give it to Lance Stevenson and stand back.
Yeah, if you stand up, yeah. Wait, no, man, you're stepping on my toes there, man.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, God. No, when that article comes out, it's going to be bomb. When it comes out,
I envision
out,
I be Tom Thibodeau and Dave Yeager sitting in the same room watching game film together and just, like, cringing at certain plays and just, like, making these groaning noises. I feel like those two would really get along well.
Yeah,
I bet you both of them have the ESPN World Arm Wrestling Championship DVR, and they met on a Facebook group for people who do that.
I feel like Dave Yeager once fired a film consultant for shooting a game on digital camera.
Oh, God. Oh, man. So, what else? Oh, right. Okay, so...